We've been talking about being led by the Spirit just the last couple weeks, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, going at a different angle. Let's turn to John 10:3. John 10:3. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And when he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." God Almighty is our Father. He is our shepherd. And his sheep hear his voice. We are his sheep. And we hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger we will not hear. That's a good thing just to get down in your heart. Because as we're walking through life, you know, and we're being led by God, we want to be led by God. You know, you can have thoughts, well, is this really God? Is this not God? And we've been talking about being, how we're led by the inward witness and by peace. But you can have thoughts, well, gosh, what if I get off and what if it's not God? If you'll just be, if you'll follow peace, you will hear the voice of God because you are his sheep and his sheep hear his voice and you will not follow a voice of a stranger. That's the word of God. You just comfort yourself with those verses if you have to and say, no, I will hear the voice of God. Sometimes if we've made a mistake or we've missed it, and sometimes we all miss it, I think there can be a pressure sometimes as Christians that we know we can be led by God. So because we know we can be led by God, we feel like we can't make a mistake. Now, we don't have to make a mistake. But there can be this pressure that, okay, if I were just a quote-unquote normal person, and hey, I tried something out and I made a mistake, well, that's okay because you try something, you make a mistake, and that's just life. But sometimes as a Christian in the Spirit-filled word that we have, and because we know that we have the opportunity to be led by God, which is true, you can get to where you think that because that's true, I should never make a mistake because God's in me, he's for me, and I should never make a mistake. Well, guess what? In theory, that is true. And I'm not saying that we're going to just make mistakes left and right. But on the other hand, if you are following God and going after God and doing what he has called you to do, you're going to be in new territory. And yes, he's going to lead you and guide you, but you may fall down and make a mistake, and that's okay. Just get right back up and follow him. I'm not saying we have to make major mistakes in our life, but don't get so far into other ditch that you think I can't make a mistake, and if I make a mistake, my world is just all upside down because I should be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. If I made a mistake, then something's wrong, and you get in a tizzy because of it. Because the devil will use that. Because there are natural things that you do that you're going to make mistakes in. You know, your child, if he went and rode a bike, I don't care how spiritual he is, he's probably going to fall down. Because he's never ridden a bike before. If you step out into certain things in the things of God, now I'm not talking about marrying the wrong person or moving. No, major things that we should take time and be sure we're following God. But even in those things, if we make a mistake because we're trying to follow God and we get excited and miss it, God's bigger than our mistakes. Amen. It's not that, well, I made a mistake so I can't hear God. No. No, we hear the voice of God, and if we'll just learn, but there's a process to learn to walk really closely with him. And as we just keep following him, if we don't quit and keep following him and stay on with him and just say, no, I hear his voice. You know, the time that you really need to say that you hear his voice and not the voice of the stranger is when you've messed up. Amen. When you've messed up three times in a row is the time you really have to say, I hear the voice of God. That's faith. See, it's the time you need to say, I'm healed, is when you feel sick. The time that you need to say, God supplies all my needs, is when it doesn't look like it and you're out of a job or something. Or your bank account doesn't look like it. That's the time you really need to step it up and confess and believe what God's word says. Do you hear me? It sometimes we think that, you know, it's easy, like when we're in church right now or when things are going well, to believe any number of things that the Word says. Yeah, I believe God hears me. But what after, right after you made a mistake and you feel like I missed it? That's the time the devil will get on you and try to say, you can't hear from God. What is your problem? You're supposed to be a Christian. How'd you miss it? You know, I heard a certain minister one time. He's a minister. He's been in the ministry a long time, and he had just gotten a new car, or whatever. And he got it home, and he was so glad God blessed him with this car and everything. And he backed it out right into his garage door or something. He just backed it out, and he was like, "Lord, how did that happen? How can you blessed me? You got me this. I'm so excited, and then I back it out and do something so stupid like that." This is an experienced guy. And we've all done dumb stuff like that. That's the time you say, "I don't know what all's involved there, baby. I was just excited, whatever. But God is bigger. God blessed me with this. He can get me another car. He can get me this repaired." That's the time you need to be in faith. Because that's the time it's real tempting just to say, "Dummy, are you sure you can hear from God, or whatever?" It's when we've missed it. I heard another person say, it's when, like this one man worked with people that worked in healing school. And he said the time that, he worked with cancer people, whatever. He goes, the time that you need to say that I can keep food down, or whatever, people having trouble keeping food down, is when you just threw it up the last three times. "No, I keep food. I have a good appetite." The person can't keep another thing. "No, I have a good appetite." If we've missed it or something and we feel like something is off, or I'm off in the ditch, that's the time to say, "I hear God's voice. I hear God's voice. God speaks to me, and I won't follow a voice of a stranger." Amen. Amen. God is speaking to each one of us. Let's just read through those verses again. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." The sheep, I don't know anything about sheep, but I've heard they're not the smartest animal, and they need to be led. Well, we are not God Almighty, and we're children of God, and he will make sure he leads us out by name, by the way, how you'll listen. He knows you, and he will lead you how you will receive it, basically. Verse 4, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." You know the voice of God. We know the voice of God. Now, we can get more familiar with the voice of God. The way these people, the way the sheep have gotten familiar, they've heard that voice over and over. Well, like we said, God is speaking to us all the time. We just have to be sensitive. And it's just, you just be sensitive to the voice of God and be sensitive to peace on the inside. And if you're sensitive to that, you know the voice of God. Your spirit is alive to the voice of God. We just need to be sensitive to it. And as we walk, it'll get clearer and clearer because we're tuned in. Not because God started really talking to us anymore necessarily, because he's always been concerned, but we're tuned in to him and we'll follow him and be led by him. He says, verse 5, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." That's why it's so important just to keep God's word first place, keep him first place. Don't seek after other things or spectacular ways of trying to be led by God. You don't want to open that door up. Just stick with God and his word and follow peace, and we'll be fine. We don't open ourselves up to trying to... It's just so tempting to want to be led in a spectacular way. And I know, I've been there. You're making a decision for your life. You want to hear something. You want to, like somebody said, you want a registered letter from God telling you to do this. You're wondering about I'd need a registered letter from God to do that. Well, we don't want to get to that place, because what we do is we open ourselves up to say, "Boy, I really need a word right now. I really want a confirmation right now." God, we just need to trust him. that He will lead us and guide us. Trust Him that He knows what He's doing, and that let Him lead us in the way He sees fit. And like I said, that's just by the inward witness, but just by peace. But don't look for a vision. Don't look for a word. Don't go to a meeting looking for a confirmation. Amen. I know that's tempting. I've been there. You know, you want some confirmation that you get somewhere or come to church. I want a confirmation from God. Just trust Him, and He'll confirm what He needs to confirm. And if you don't need a confirmation, that's probably a good thing. Brother Hagin would say that. You know, just if you need a word, if God gives you a word about something, there may be rough sailing ahead to keep you steady. That's why you had that word. To just don't, you know, you may not want a word. Don't, you know, be careful what you ask for, what you pray for. You may not want a word from God. Just be content to be led by His word. If you read something in the word and it's basically answering your question and telling you where to go, be content and go forth. And if God nudges you one way or another, fine. But don't go to somebody, oh, I need a word. Because you know what? The devil, and I'm not saying this to put fear in anybody, but we have an adversary, and he's a deceiver. So if we just stick with God, we'll be led, and we won't follow that other voice, or the other voice is just trying, you know, that's trying to get us off. Thank God. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know this is a familiar voice or passage of Scripture, but it doesn't hurt to look at it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Thank God. The more we walk with God, the more we trust Him, because He's faithful and we see His faithfulness, and we trust that He is leading us in the right place, regardless of what we see or feel or anything external. We just get to the place where we're following Him based on our late relationship with Him and the peace that He is giving us, and that we trust that He's my shepherd, He is my master, I hear His voice, this is what I believe is right, this is what I have peace on, so for my life I'm going to follow this. It doesn't contradict the Word, it's not out of line with the Word of God, it's in line with the Word of God, and we have peace. You just walk with peace. You don't look for the spectacular or super, you know, it's supernatural how God leads us, but we don't look for the spectacular leading of God. We just are content to follow Him. He says, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. See, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. God sees everything, but we don't see everything. The shepherd sees everything. We don't. And so we have to just trust that we hear the voice of God, follow Him, not trust on what we can see, not trust on what we can feel. Don't trust your reasoning. Don't trust your experience. Trust God Almighty. Just trust that voice. I hear that voice. That shepherd is calling me. I know that voice. That's how He's led me in the past. And you know how you will get a sense of how He leads you. And I'm talking, He does lead you by peace. But how does that peace come? Like I said, there's different things that could come across your path or whatever, and it bears witness. You have peace. It bears witness. But how does that come? It doesn't all just come necessarily like you're praying and something comes and okay, I'll go that way. Things can come through different avenues. Well, how has He led you in the past? He's not necessarily going to lead you like He leads me. And that's something we have to understand, because sometimes we hear somebody preach something or read something and we think, well, I didn't have that experience. Or if God, I don't know, God doesn't really talk to me like that. Well, that's fine, because you're a different child. I don't talk to all my children the same either. They're different personalities. They don't all hear the same. There's things I've had to do with certain ones I didn't have to do with other ones. You have to speak different. Well, God knows how to get through to you. You know, back where we just read, He knows His sheep. He calls them by name, and they hear His voice. That means He might have to speak to one a certain way to get their attention. Other one, He just speaks it this way. But you know what? His motive is for you to have the best and to be led. And so He knows how to get your attention. He knows you. He knows each of us. And so He says, Jim, not literally, you know, speaking in an audible voice, but he'll get my attention. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And he knows what I'll listen to, and he knows how to get it across to me, because his motive is to get us in the best possible place, that, you know, the place that he has for us. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Just like you hear his voice and you won't hear a voice of a stranger. If we acknowledge him, that means we're looking to him. We are putting him first. He shall direct our paths. Not maybe, not sort of, not kind of, he shall. And we need to get bold when it's our, you know, in all areas of our life, when we're dealing with God, because the enemy will just try to push us off. Well, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, hear from God, or you can't get healed or whatever. We just need to get bold. That's why we need to know the word, to throw it back in his face. You know, when I say the enemy, it comes through your thoughts. Well, I don't know if I can do this or whatever. You just need to recognize that's not from God and say, God said he shall direct my paths. I'm acknowledging he shall direct my paths. I am being led right now. Amen. Just say that after me. I am being led right now. When you go, that's when you need to speak that out in the middle. When, like I said, it doesn't look good, or you don't know what's going on, or the storms are raging and it doesn't look good. That's when you need to step up and say, he shall direct my paths. I hear his voice. And just affirm it to yourself. My God is a good God. He is a good God all the time. He's leading me. He's guiding me. I am hearing his voice. I will not follow the wrong voice. I am being led for the way God wants me to be led. And we just affirm that. And we get bold. And when you speak the word and you speak out what God said in his word, it's never going to get to the place where you feel like doing that. That's what we need to know, is that it's never going to get to the place where you're in the middle of a trial and it's just easy to do that. It's easy to do it when there's no trial. You see, but what I think the devil tries to get us to do is we feel like, okay, I got it this time. I see it. I see the word. Then we start walking out in our life and something happens to us and it doesn't look like the word's working. It doesn't look like God's a good God. It doesn't look like he's leading us. And then we feel like speaking the contrary. But see, but the deception is that, oh, if I would have done something different, or if I were in a different place, maybe I missed it because this is hard. All these thoughts, and we think if we were somewhere else or somehow different, it would be easy to walk in the word. It's not. We have to believe the word and walk in faith no matter where we are. So when things come against us in the middle of our trial, in the middle of when it feels like things aren't really looking good, that's when we say, I am being led by God. God is taking care of me. I hear his voice and I'm walking forward. And we just keep affirming it. And that's how confidence comes. It follows what you believe and say. It doesn't fall, you know, it doesn't just come to a feeling to where you suddenly feel confident. Now I'm going to speak it out. No, if we wait for the feeling to come, we're sunk. And God doesn't always, and I just felt led to go this way today, God doesn't always lead us in the easiest place. It's not like, again, it's not like it's a puppet. He's not some crazy, you know, some people paint God in the weirdest way. They act like he is, you know, you can't believe he's your father and a good father. Yet some people paint him in the craziest way, like he's just up there, some, you know, guy gaming and say, ooh, I'm going to push this button. Let's see how they deal with this. Ooh, you know. Let's see how they mess with, you know, deal with this. I'll just move this over. Like he's some cosmic game player and we're the players in it and we just get pushed around. It's not true. But we live in a fallen world, so stuff happens, and through it all we got to believe that he's good and that he's leading us and that he's guiding us and that he's going to take care of us and that our bodies can be well and that our relationships can be whole in spite of all the junk that we see, because the devil's got it in a mess. Amen. And that's faith. And so, you know, God, historically, you look at some examples, and we're going to do some of them quick. You know, look, let's turn over to Matthew 4. Jesus himself, Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 1. Look at the first sentence. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Now, I don't know what all the ramifications of that are, but I know that it says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And there are times, but he wasn't led by the devil to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. God leads us and guides us, and like I said, he's not some game player, but he leads us. You know, it's because he loves us, and he knows what's coming, and if you need to be tried in a certain area, it's not like it's some whacked out game, but he's saying, if you fail this, there's no way you're going to die over here. I want you to go over here, and let's see what happens over here. Because he loves us more than we. It's not because he has our. He expects us to follow him and to sit, to stand on his word and to come out flying just like Jesus. Amen? So he'll lead us. It's like, you know, if you're training a child to play a sport or training him, to learn a skill, you realize they got to build on things. And if you try to throw the book at them at the beginning, they're going to fail. And if you know you're preparing them for a test, look, kid, if you can't, sometimes you're trying, have you ever had this experience if you have children or you're a teacher or whatever, you're trying to teach something and the person's bucking at it, saying, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. And you're thinking, if you can't do this, there's no way you're going to do this. I'm trying to help you. Just listen to me. If you will just listen to what I'm doing, it will go well with you. Now, God's heart for us is just not to be like that. And just when God says go, we say where, how far, what? Because I trust you. But so many times we're like, I don't understand it. You know, like we just read in Proverbs, trust not in your own understanding. But we're so many times, we want to know. We want to see what's going on. God, show me, and then I'll understand, and then I'll go. He can't do that. There may be something 20 years down the road or 10 years down the road. He knows where he's going with you. You don't. So we just need to shut up and listen to him and go. But I know I've been there. It's so easy to say, no, I'll go once I understand this. And so he's having to go like this, and he's telling us and leading us, and we don't understand what's going on. We're saying, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. Jesus just went and he came out and he won. Let's just read it real quick and we're going to go on. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that's amazing. Afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, he was tempted. And he stood strong. Whatever the devil brought at him, he just flung it back and he stayed on God's side and he believed God was a good God. Even though that's his Father, even though that's Jesus, he had flesh and he could have gone the other way, but he's given us an example. He said, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus had an answer for everything the devil came. See, that's what I'm saying. When devil comes at us through our thoughts, you know, he may not stand in front of us and be saying this stuff, but he comes through our thoughts. Oh, God's not leading you. He doesn't have a plan for you. Whatever you say, God is leading me. I hear his voice. That's when we take out the word and we know it and we say, oh yeah, he is. It says right here that he shall direct my paths. It says that I am a child of God and that the children that God bears witness with the children that they are children of God, that bears witness with us that we are children of God. It's when we say, we throw it back in the devil's face, those negative thoughts face, and we say, no, this is what the word says, so this is true. I don't care what it looks like. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, we need to get bold with what the Word says and be confident that we're not just some worm, not somebody. I'm saying we know that. But in the midst of a trial, it's easy to think, well, God's leading somebody else, but where's God here? And instead of saying, get away from me, Satan, we say, oh, come here and talk to me for a little while. Well, we know we wouldn't say it's Satan, but basically we invite the thoughts in and say, you know what? Where the heck is God? What is going on here? I've been trusting God. I've been believing God. What is going on here? Where is God? You might as well have just pulled in, just pull up a chair, say, hey, Satan, come over here. Sit down. I just want to talk to you for a little bit. What else do you have to say to me? And seriously, that's what we do. But if it was Satan himself, we'd say, oh, get away from me, Satan. But we don't recognize his devices. He comes in and says, through our voice, man, I'm such a failure. What? I can't believe the stupid mistakes I've done. I knew the Word, and I've still made these mistakes. Boy, I am dumb. I can't believe. God could use somebody else, but he can't use me. We don't recognize that that's the tool of the devil. And we just say, What would you like to drink? I'm going to, hang out for a while. What else do you have to tell me about my life? How stupid am I? Or how I'm not going to make it? Or how my kids aren't going to make it? Or how my body isn't going to make it? Or how I can't, everybody else can hear from God. That scripture's from somebody else. I can't hear from God. And we invite him to talk to us. What we need to do is what Jesus said. It is written. It is written. It is written. Get away from me because I'm a child of God. And until it's not going to come by us waiting for somebody to come and pat us on the back and say, you know what? They're not going to give you a roadmap for your life. You're not going to get a plan from God for everything written down on and say, this is everything I have planned for you. See, it's all going to be fine. Now, walk in it. It's going to come. It's not going to come like that. We're going to have to walk by faith like everybody else. So we're in the midst of a trial. Nobody's going to come up and say, hey, buck up. Don't you know you're going to, your life is going to end up like this. The devil's going to flee and all this stuff. So be bold. So it's not going to happen. You're going to have to stand up and say, look, that's a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie. And I am going on with God, and stand up and be bold. That's called walking by faith. And every one of us has to do it. And I don't know how many times, it just feels like you can be deceived into thinking somehow something's going to change so that it magically happens instead of me pulling myself up by what God has told me and just standing on it and then going forward with what he has told me to do. Thank God. I want to go to another example in the Old Testament, but I just, on going there, I wanted to mention, Paul, let's just turn over there real quick. Let's see. Let's turn to Acts 20 quick, and then we're going to go somewhere else, and then we'll... I wanted to get to something else in the Old Testament. But Acts 20, 17. So it says there, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church, Paul. And then they had come to him. He said, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing from you that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that change and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul is saying, look, all I know is that there's trouble in Jerusalem, but I'm going there because I want to finish my race. But God was leading him there and guiding him there. Let's turn just down a little bit, verse 7 of chapter 21. And when he had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who had prophesied, and we stayed many days. A certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those that place from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. So Paul, see, you know, this prophet comes up and says, you're going to be bound. And they interpret it saying, see, you're not supposed to go there because you're going to be bound. But that was the will of God from the beginning. He told Paul, you're going to testify in front of Caesar right at the beginning. He said, this man's going to suffer many things for my sake. He said that's what he's going to do. And yet, The God is leading Paul. He said in every city, their Holy Spirit is saying that, you know, there's many troubles wait at Jerusalem, but I'm ready to go. And then this guy comes up and says, you know, this is the way they're going to bind you. And everybody interprets that to say, well, you better not go. But Paul says, I'm going because this is what God is leading me to do. So we just need to be led by God Almighty and do what he says, and don't put the wrong interpretation on what God is telling us to do. Don't lean on our own understanding. Lean on him and look to him and let him guide us and lead us and let him worry about the overall plan. Our job is not to be the general. Our job is to be the guy that just takes the orders and goes and does whatever needs to be done. We don't have the overall plan. We never will. And if God told you the overall plan, we'd probably mess it up anyway, because we try to do it in our own understanding. So we just need to stick with him, be led by him, and walk with him. Now let's turn over to Exodus 14. So this is a familiar story, but we're going to read it. This is a good illustration of what happens in our lives. Now the Lord spoke to Moses. This is when, of course, the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. And God has delivered them. They're coming out of Egypt, and they're coming up to the Red Sea. So the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hathroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Okay, before we go, that's in verse 4. We're going to go to verse 5. But before we go on, I want you to notice back here in verse 21 of chapter 13. Just go up, you know, a few verses. Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from them or from before the people. This is how God is leading them. This is not how God leads us. I don't know. I've never seen a pillar of fire. I've seen plenty of clouds, but not a pillar of cloud. God leads us by his Spirit who is now in us. This is the Old Testament. But he is still leading his people at this point, and that's my point. He's leading his people. He's guiding his people, and this is how he's doing it. So he's leading them now. Verse 5, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, and we have let Israel go from serving us? So they told Israel, get out of town, go, go. You know, once the firstborn was killed of all those people, they said, get out of our sight, go, take everything, go. But now they're gone, and then Pharaoh says, what were we thinking? We're going after them and getting them. What are we doing? So just like God said, he hardens his heart and goes. So verse 6, he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So, you know God is leading them. They have a visible pillar of cloud or fire leading them. They know God has just delivered them from Egypt. But now they see the Egyptians coming after them. They know God has led them. And now they have the Egyptians following them, and they are scared. So, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?" That question we ask ourselves, not in those words, but in how many different words God, the devil will cut. You know, you can basically say you believe that you were following God, and then you get to a point and it looks difficult, which nothing is going to be a cakewalk in this Christian life. There's nothing that's going to be. Sometimes we get the idea that if we're following God, it should be easy. I don't know how many people have gotten tripped up by that. Because as soon as something comes against you, you think, I'm not on God's path because there's something come against me. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And the sooner we figure that out, all of us, because it's so tempting to get back and be just like these guys and say, man, they just saw God rescue them, bring them out of Egypt, and yet now they're saying, what is going on? I know God. I mean, they're not even saying, I know God led us. They're just saying, what? We couldn't have just died in Egypt? What's going on? Basically, in our own life, if we were to say, what happens is we look around and say, where is God? What happened? I thought I was following God. Where is God now? You know, something happens, some trial, you know, in your life or something financially. Well, what is going on? I'm a Christian. What happened? I was following God the best of my ability. If you're not careful, the devil will take that and just plunge you right down into a pool, just wallowing around because this is the thought you'll hear. I have been studying. I've been praying. I've been doing what I know to do. And where is God? If you heard yourself right then, you are raising yourself up against God and saying basically, God missed it. What? God is obligated to do something about this. Where is he? I've been doing my part. Where is God? That's the devil. That's exactly what he did in the garden. He came to Eve and said, is that what God really said? Well, he's just holding out on you. That's exactly what he does to us. He said he's a liar, and he comes and says, what? You've been doing, look at you. You've been following God. Where's God? Where's God? That's what the Israelites are doing. They're saying, where is God? What? We could have died in Egypt. We didn't die in Egypt. Now we're going to die here because we're going to get killed by these people. So verse 11, they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word of the Lord we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. So they are totally in unbelief now. They've totally forgotten. They don't believe God's a good God. They don't believe that God is protecting them, that God is leading them, even though they have a visible pillar of cloud or fire that is leading them. That's supernatural. Yet now they say, they forget the fact that it was God that led them there. If God led them there, he's going to take care of them. But see, we can be clouded and we just start doubting and don't believe that God is going to take care of us. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I like that. He says, these people that you see now, see them? You ain't going to see them much longer. They're going to be gone. You're never going to see them. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Self Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Shut up, mind. You're wrong. See the salvation of the Lord. God did not bring me here. He did not lead me here. I may not be perfect, but I'm following God. I am His child. I follow His voice. He said He will direct me, so He's directing me. And He didn't say it would be easy, but in the spite of what's going on, I'm still following Him. I'm still being led by Him, and He is with me. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank God, and we just stir ourselves up just like Moses was doing for these people. And he said in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. All that night made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariots' wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hands over the sea, your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back over the Egyptians on their chariots and on the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw Egypt, the Egyptians, dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Thank God. God led them into the midst of that. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was trouble. They couldn't get out of it, but God was in it. He led them there. He led them right in the middle of it. And they had the opportunity to say, God, you're for us, or the opportunity to fret. And they were fretting. But Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We need to do that. We need to do that for ourselves. Just when you start to hear those voices that, what are you doing here? Where is God? Just remember the Israelites. And we just need to be like Moses and say, God, you're a good God. God, I don't understand what is going on right now. I don't understand why. Now here come the Egyptians again. I thought I was free. I thought I was past this in my life. I thought everything was clear. Now this is happening. The temptation right there is to go, Lord, what is going on? And instead of saying, Lord, what is going on? You know, I thought I was at the end of the, end of the tunnel, and, you know, saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's another train coming. And instead of going, oh no, what is going on? We say, God, you are for me. I know you're for me. Lord, you are working for me right now. Lord, you're a good God. And we start speaking the word just like Jesus spoke the word, and we stay on the side of God when it doesn't look like God is on our side. Because he is on our side. He will never, ever leave us. Never, ever forsake us. I just want to encourage all of us today that God is leading us right now. that He is for us right now. And that if we'll look to Him, God will show Himself strong. He has never let any one of His children down yet, and you are not going to be the first. He would have to break His word. He would have to basically, all His promises that He's ever made, He is not going to go against them for your sake. He has never broken His word. He always does what He says. Amen. Amen. Amen.